Yes, we're going to discuss the latest January transfer window now with our good friends at TalkStation and look at the whole story of transfers generally in the company of Alan Gernon, the author. The Transfer Market, The Inside Stories. This is a new book with a foreword by who else but our own Jim White.
And it's in the cover, in transfer yellow.
It is in transfer yellow.
It could only be in this colour. Yeah.
Hi, Alan. Good to see you.
Hi, good to see you. I actually bumped into Jim downstairs earlier. He was rushing off to get a yellow tie dry clean. So,
I mean, he must have
a year again.
Number
it's
of them flight
quiet
cased.
Quiet this window, though.
Yeah, I think it is. A lot of loan moves and speculation. But it's always the last sort of day it seems to pick up. Like, I've stats in the book where, for example, the August 17 window, there was 11 deals done on the first day of the month and, you know, 130 on the last day. So, you know, even players I spoke to for the book are still amazed at, you know, the sort of desperation and lack of planning by clubs when there's so much money in the game. It's almost like a husband desperately looking for a present for his wife on Christmas Eve and, you know, just picking up anything. And, you know, some players mentioned to me, you know, they just get a call on deadline day because they're a left back and their name is fifth on a list and, you know, there's no planning whatsoever. So, you know, we probably see, you know, a lot more deals in the last few days. You know, 30% of the deals in that window were in the last 2 hours. So it's
the
crazy
eternal question. Yeah. Why do they
It's
leave
a mad
it
way to do
so
business.
Long.
It's a multi-million.
I think they think they can get the prices down. Sorry, Paul.
Yeah. I mean, is it just right? It's such a huge industry. You wonder why you have this complete KB scramble in the last couple of hours. There's no way. They wouldn't run their other businesses like that, the guys that indulge in this, would they, really?
Not at all. There is some clubs, obviously, like Liverpool, are prepared to wait for their number one targets like they did with Van Dijk and Naby Keita, but yeah, from speaking to players here, they've often been sitting at home on deadline day, relaxed, settled in a town or city, and, you know, they get a call out of the blue, and, you know, the next day they're looking for a home the other side of the country with no mention of a
schools for kids and things like that. It can be very difficult.
Taking kids out of school for maybe the fifth time, and, you know, one player I spoke to who's still under 30 and he's moved to 12 different clubs, and his last move he hadn't even unpacked the boxes from his previous one. So
you talk about an example there of Leroy Rossignol, who played in London practically all of his career, and obviously the kids, his young lad Liam, went on to become a player, of course. And you spoke to Liam as well, and they go to Bristol, and you have to uproot the family. Liam has to go to a new school. You know, it's a kind of very unsettling, isn't it? For it's quite a difficult thing. And, you know, Leroy's got to settle into a new team. So you've got that going on. You've got taken away from your family. It's. I mean, look, OK, people say he's a professional footballer, you know, so what? But it's tough, you know, it still impacts on your family life, doesn't
it? Yeah, I guess the whole reason I wrote the book was because, I wrote a book a couple of years ago on the problems players encounter when they retire. And there was one player who was divorced pretty soon after he hung up his boots, and it all seemed to stem from that whole instability of a footballer's life with the constant moves, and even a lot of players nowadays moving without their family. You know, their family set up a base and they're in a sort of commuting relationship, which isn't really, I guess, conducive to a happy family life or a happy marriage. And that sort of gave me the idea as to, you know, what else is going on behind the scenes, because, you know, when a player signs for a club, it's always football they're asked about, and, you know, just the usual cliches. Can't wait to get going with the guys, or, you know,
my childhood team
playing for this. yeah. Robbie Keane.
But you say here, almost 30% of transfer players worldwide are moved between clubs against their wishes. That's quite a high amount.
Yeah, I spoke to FIFPro, who are the World Players Union, who are the equivalent of the PFA worldwide, and, you know, they represent 60,000 players worldwide, and, you know, they only really categorise 2% of those as the elite. So these are the guys we're reading and hearing the stories about, who, you know, earn over, I think it's $720,000 a year. But they're 2%, which is the equivalent of Morecambe FC's average attendance. Whereas their bottom tier, who are predominantly earning under $4,000 a month, they categorise 3/4 of those 60,000 players, which is the equivalent of Chelsea or Juventus's average attendance. So it sort of gives you a sort of a contrast between, you know, the transfers we're hearing about. Like, there's 14 or 15,000 transfers of professional footballers worldwide every year, but, you know, only 14% or 15% involve a fee. So, you know, most players aren't moving, I guess, because they're wanted. It's because, you know, they're probably unwanted or, you know, they're out of contract and they're unemployed, basically. So that's the sort of decided game we don't really hear or see about on deadline day and the transfer window.
You tell stories of agents and their role in transfers, sort of good and bad. What's your overall feeling, having kind of researched the book? I mean, you know, I suppose it does come down to the fact that an agent's going to be better off when a player moves.
Yeah, of course. And I went into it. I had no idea really what agents did, and I wanted to sort of have an objective view on it. I spoke to agents and players and sports lawyers who've been involved in contracts. And, you know, prior to 2013, when FIFA deregulated the whole agents industry, you had to really know your stuff. You know, there was a multiple choice exam, which sounds easy, but the questions were really set to trip people up. You know, there's 20 questions, and some years the pass rates were as low as 6%. So you really needed to know, you know, thousands of pages worth of regulations. And
which focuses the mind when you decide whether you want to be an agent or not.
Exactly,
of course, yeah.
But then when FIFA washed their hands off it a few years back, now, basically, you just need 500 quid and a mobile phone, as someone said in the book, you know, and once you're not bankrupt. And
so it's the Wild West, effectively.
Well, that's what it's worse than the Wild West. It's another quote from the book from a established agent. But, you know, there was 500 or 600 registered agents in the UK before deregulation. Now it's about 2,000. So it's, you know, it's a free for all.
Wow.
So people looking to get on board.
I like this stat, though. Would you rather have 315,000 League Two players or Neymar? Because they cost the same.
Yeah, well, again, that's looking at what it means to a typical player. I spoke to transfermarket.com, and, you know, most transfers in League Two at that end of the game are free transfers, you know, players out of contract. So, you know, the average fee a couple of transfer windows ago in 2016-17... was 627 quid, or, you know, roughly what PSG pay Neymar every 12 minutes, I think it is. So, in theory, you could buy over 300,000 League Two players for the price of Neymar. So that's, I guess, the level where most players are at. You know, we hear about the Neymars and the Pogbas and Lukaku's, but we don't often hear, you know, the other side of things.
The other side of the transfer market as well, because of social media, has thrown up the kind of in-the-know merchants, these people that you find
ITKs,
on Twitter,
and
they come on and they come up and I'm hearing this. And I said, we're all so desperate for news about our team in the window, we're kind of prepared to believe anything. But you tell the story of one guy, a Liverpool fan, who just basically read a few interviews with managers, heard them say nice things about players that they'd worked with in the past, put two and two together and said, I understand this is happening. And a couple of times they did. So that gives him the credibility. And then people are hanging on his every word. But the club kind of approached him. They weren't particularly happy with him.
Yeah,
were they
thought there was a mole in the club. And he'd previously been getting, you know, Premier League teams typically will name their first 11 an hour before kickoff. But you just happened upon the actual team on a Liverpool forum. I think one of the Liverpool players' friends was posting it. He started tweeting it out and then, you know, got a lot of followers because it proved to be true every week, and then started taking punts on, you know, likes of Barini to Liverpool and people like that. And, you know, a few of them came true, but, you know, a lot of them didn't. But, you know, the followers were just, you know, hanging on every word,
yeah.
Because you know, he got a few right, and Liverpool ended up allegedly alleged that he was costing them a few hundred grand in that Barini deal to Roma, because Roma were furious that the move was leaked.
Really?
So
there's
all these sort of stories, and, you know, I've been a sucker for transfer gossip for years, and I typically. You know, as most fans might do, I would have thought, you know, journalists, a lot of it's a figment of journalists' imaginations. But, you know, from speaking to journalists, players, agents, people at clubs, you know, there seems to be some sort of spin on every story you read. But I did go back. I took a few days at random from maybe 10 or 11 years ago from the gossip columns, and it turned out about 20-21% of rumours actually ended up in a transfer. And, you know, footballtransferleague.co.uk, a website that have investigated maybe over 10,000 transfers, came to the exact same figure. So, you know, one fifth of what you're reading will, you know, a transfer will come to fruition, but, you know, 80% is, I guess, fake news, whether it's spin from an agent or a club trying to get someone off
quite
the books.
A bit of that.
Yeah, so it's...
And you mentioned in the book, just as you said, as I write, these are the rumours that are doing the rounds for the summer window, and Torreira to Arsenal, of about the eight or nine you listed, the only one that comes
off.
Yeah,
which is so probably around the same thing. Yeah.
Interesting. Look, it's a fascinating book, and we wish you well with it.
Yeah,
Alan,
thanks
very much
for
coming
me on.
In.
Thank you.
The Transfer Market by Alan Gurnan, the inside stories, we have a forward by our own Jim White, who else? The whole picture, really, from every angle on the world of transfers in football. Thanks for coming in.